that worship we've been able to participate in this morning. So thankful and grateful to God for giving us this opportunity. In December of 2004, Tilly Smith, 10-year-old English schoolgirl, was vacationing on the coast of Thailand with her family. It was like paradise, white sand and blue turquoise sea, Tilly said. But on the morning of December 26th, when the family went for a long walk on the beach, she started recognizing the sea. This just didn't sit right with her. She said the water was really, really frothy. It wasn't coming in and going out. It just kept coming in and coming in, she said. She remembered that a lesson she had at school a few weeks earlier on tsunamis. And these signs that she was seeing was reminding her of that lesson. She started telling her family, she kept saying, "It bubbles, the water bubbles," she said. And frantically trying to tell her father that there's going to be a tsunami. You need to listen to me. Her parents kind of thought she was crazy, but they eventually gave in. And on their way off of the beach that morning, they decided to stop by the guard. Her father told the one who was the lifeguard on duty there that, "Look, you're going to think I'm crazy, but my daughter thinks that there's going to be a tsunami that's about to hit." The guard listened and cleared the beach. And as they're leaving the beach, in comes a tsunami that throughout the region killed 250,000 people. 10,000 in Thailand alone. But on that beach that Tilly and her family were on, there were some injuries. But that beach and that hotel that they were staying in, there was not a single fatality. Her father later said, "If she hadn't told us, we would have just kept walking. And I'm convinced we would have died. Absolutely convinced." A little bit later, after an article was written on her, there was a book that was written called "The Unthinkable Who Survives When Disaster Strikes and Why." And in this book, the author recounts Tilly Smith's story. And she says, "Everything you've given your brain before things go bad matters a great deal. It's just amazing how much better your brain can do with a little bit of information." Tilly didn't know it at the time, but that lesson she had 3 weeks prior to this event occurring prepared her to save her and her family's life and the others that were on that beach that day and were staying in that hotel. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Preparedness. Making sure and understanding the importance of being prepared. In Daniel chapter 1, I think we get an account, a biblical account, of one who was prepared for the situation that he comes into. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel is in less than an ideal situation. He's taken from his home and forced to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. In doing so, him and those that were taken with him were going to have to partake in the king's delicacies. But Daniel knew there was something wrong and sinful about these delicacies. We're told in Daniel 1, chapter 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Daniel had purposed in his heart. And what I want us to recognize is what Daniel did in purposing in his heart is he prepared himself for this situation. It wasn't that Daniel got to this situation and then decided, "Now I'm going to serve God." Daniel said, "I'm going to serve God," prior to this event. And then whenever he gets here and the king's going to have him partake in these delicacies, partake in this sin, he says, "I'm not doing it. I don't care what's going to happen to me. I am not going to partake in these delicacies because it is going to separate me from God. This morning, I want us to look introspectively at ourselves. I want us to look at ourselves individually and ask, are we prepared? Have we prepared ourselves like Daniel did in this account? Christians oftentimes just go through the motions. We're here on Sundays, we're here on Wednesdays, and that is a good start. That you're here on Sundays, you're here on Wednesdays, and you're partaking in the Lord's Word, you're partaking in His worship. But like Daniel, we might find ourselves in a less than ideal situation. And if we end up in those situations and need to take a stand for God, if we need to resist Satan, have we prepared ourselves to do so? I want us to explore a few areas this morning of preparation, of being prepared. And I want us to be able to make some practical application from it this morning. First area that I want to start is looking at being prepared to serve the Lord. Have we prepared ourselves mentally to serve the Lord? Because there will be things that we will have to forego. There's going to be a cost that it is going. There's going to be a cost to us in serving the Lord. Have we done this? Are we willing to deny ourselves? If you would flip over to Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Deny myself. Isn't this something that's completely contrary to what we see and what we're taught? I'm supposed to look after myself. Isn't that how I get ahead in life? I look after me and I do whatever's good for me. And if I do that, then I'm going to be successful in business. Then I'm going to be successful financially or in sports or whatever the case may be. Deny myself. Paul tells us in Galatians 2:20, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Again, this is going to contradict a lot of what you're taught in this world today. To deny yourself and to live for God. See, it's no longer about me and what I want, but it's about what God wants. It's no longer about me and my golf handicap and how good I am there. It's no longer about me and my status in society. It's no longer about me and how many likes I have on Instagram, how many likes I have on Twitter or on Facebook, and how many retweets I have on Twitter. It's not about me in exalting myself. It's about God in exalting Him. Have we prepared ourselves to serve God in that way? Or are we like so many that just want to have the faith that God is and that He is going to take care of me, but leave it at that? No, God calls us to a higher standard than that. We are to deny ourselves and to follow God. Have we counted the cost? Luke 14, verse 26. Says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross to come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him? Or who else, while the other still is a great far off, sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace?" Have we counted the cost and prepared ourselves to count this cost of what it's going to be like to be a Christian and to serve the Lord? So many times in the world, within our family, within our friends, Christians are asked, "Why don't you?" and you can fill in the blank and put whatever you want. Why don't you, young people, go to the dance? What are you, against having a good time? Are you willing to take that stand? Have you prepared yourself whenever you're in that moment to take that stand against God, or to take that stand for God against those who are coming after you? What about adults thinking about after office hours, your coworkers saying, why don't you just come out and just have one beer with us? Kick back, relax, have a good time. Just take a load off. Have you prepared yourself to take a stand and say, I'm not going to do that? Take a stand for the Lord. Have we prepared ourselves? Why don't you skip church for the big game that little Johnny or Susie has? It's so popular today, athletics and tournaments in particular, those travel teams. And I got into it whenever I was growing up. It was something I did. I was a baseball player. And Sunday, you know what Sunday was? Sunday was championship Sunday. Friday and Saturday were pool play. Sunday was the day that separates the men from the boys, that separates the champions from the non-champions. And why don't you understand that it's important for little Johnny or Susie to be at that game because their team has the first round playoff game at 8, 9, 10 a.m. on Sunday morning? Have we prepared ourselves to take that stand? Have we made preparations and talked to the coach beforehand and told them on the front end, look, I'm sorry, but if we make it to Sunday in tournament play, we're not going to be there. God comes first. Have we made those preparations? Because I'm telling you, if you don't, you're eventually going to run into somebody who's going to be asking you about that. And it's going to be hard for you to stand. And oftentimes, what we end up seeing, sadly, is people giving in. Have we prepared ourselves for the relationship that might be damaged with our parents because we put God first? We tell them we won't be attending an important event. We won't be coming to Christmas dinner this year because your brother who was withdrawn from at the local congregation was invited to be there. Have we prepared ourselves to be an outcast even within our own kin, even within our own family, the ones who oftentimes we consider the most dear to us? You got to make the proper preparations. Because otherwise you're going to find yourself in one of these situations similar to Daniel, and you wouldn't have prepared yourself, and you're not going to take that stand like God wants you to. No, we need to have the mindset of Paul, who in Philippians 3:7-8 says, I count all things loss. Nothing compares to serving God and putting God first. There is absolutely nothing that I'm going to put before God. We need to have the mindset of Christ, who in Luke 22:42, whenever he is facing death as an innocent man, and we read and can tell that he doesn't want to have to go through what he's about to go through, yet what does he say? Not my will be done, but yours be done. Do we have that mindset? Can we truly say the words of Jesus, not my will, but your will? Or are we more like the rich young ruler who have that one thing that is keeping us from completely denying self and serving the Lord? It can't be about us. It has to be about God. Have you prepared yourself for that? Not only do we need to prepare ourselves to serve the Lord, we need to prepare ourselves to resist Satan. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Verses 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Satan is like a roaring lion, and he is looking for any opportunity that he has to pounce on us, to come after us, to get us, and lead us away from God. And we need to recognize that Satan is not one that plays fair. Let's look at the way that he handled Job. With Job, he takes his children from him. With Job, he puts pains and boils and medical nightmares on him. With Job, he takes this financial being, what he had built financially, and just took it away from him. He doesn't play fair. He's going to come after the things that you don't think that are touchable. Now, we understand in that account that there was one thing Satan couldn't take, and that was his own life. So we understand God's the power. But Satan doesn't play fair whenever he tries to come after us and get us. He's going to use whatever means and methods necessary to get that done. Have we prepared ourselves to resist him? Or are we going to be like Job's wife, who had not prepared herself? And as a result, what did she say? As opposed to Job, who did not sin in all these things, his wife said what? What are you doing? Curse God and die. Do you not see that this is God's fault? Is that sadly not what happens so many times whenever we're not prepared to resist Satan? Satan's come after us, and what do? We blame God for what Satan has done. Have we prepared ourselves for those situations? You know, he might do the same thing to us. The death of a loved one, the loss of a job, financial hardships. It's these moments that we need to be prepared for. But you know what? Satan, he's like a roaring lion. Something else that we notice about lions is lions don't just let you know that they are coming. They lurk. They hide and wait for the perfect opportunity to attack you. Oftentimes we think that Satan's going to come at us with easily identifiable things. We think Satan's going to come at us with the drugs and the alcohol and the sexual immorality. The things that we're like, okay, that's just immoral. I'm not even going to go near him. I'm not even going to go near that. But do we understand that Satan's like a lion and he lurks, and he isn't just going to use those things that are popping out in front of us. He's going to use the things that we might not see and in of themselves are not sin. He's going to try to distract us. I'm talking about the things we love that in and of themselves are not wrong. The sports. The shopping. What about the reading books that don't profit us anything? You know, you think about shopping. Going back to that one real quickly. Today you can get on your phone and how many hours can you spend on Amazon searching for stuff? Or on the internet shopping? And then not to mention all the reviews. Oh, I need to know the best whatever product I'm going to get. I think of guys maybe shopping. In my case, I shop for fishing stuff all the time. How much research I can do. Or what about women? Ladies out there shopping for clothes. And you're looking for the best fabric that is just going to be so soft on your skin and just look so beautiful. Those things distract us from God. And we spend so much time scrolling through them. Like I said, what about a book that you get lost in? This book is so good, I just can't put it down. I'm not talking about the Bible or even a book that's written on a study of a book of the Bible or anything like that that's not pertaining to spiritual things. I'm talking about a fictional book that's just so captivating you can't put it down. How many hours are we spending reading that book as opposed to focusing on God? Is that not Satan capturing us? Is that not Satan coming after us? Like I mentioned, fishing with shopping. Personally, the one I struggle with is fishing. And that's because my dad got me into it. And you wouldn't even believe it unless you are in the fishing world, how much research that you can do before you go out on the water. I'm not talking about the, you know, 8-hour day that most people think is just boring out on the water as is. I'm talking about the hours upon hours of research, looking at the different pressure systems and how they affect fish, looking at the different baits that live there in that water and doing what they call match the hatch and having the right bait and the right lures and where they are that time of year, where are they at in the water column, and so many different things you can go to, and that's a personal one for me that I have to make sure I rein in and I don't spend too much time focusing on something that in of itself isn't sinful. But what is Satan doing? He's distracting me from serving God. And the less time that I spend on God and the more time I spend on material things of this world, the greater opportunity he's going to have to come in and to get me. That's exactly what Satan's doing. That's exactly how he's after us. Have we prepared ourselves to understand He's doing that and to recognize whenever we're going down that path to stop and to understand that that's not what this life is about. This life is about serving God, putting Him first and foremost. Again, I get so consumed and I put so much time in there that I pull time away from God and I put it somewhere else, and that's Satan doing that. James 4, 7 through 8 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. When we resist Satan, he flees. And we do this by being not double-minded, but by being single-minded. We have a single focus. Matthew 6, 24 says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Even Christians, a lot of times, try to do this. We like to think, look, we can serve God and enjoy absolutely everything in this world. And there are things that God has given us. We see that throughout the book of Ecclesiastes to enjoy. But there comes a point where it crosses the line. And we are no longer single-focused, putting God first, seeking God first, but our attention is split. And the majority of the time, it's not 50-50. We end up way more consumed with the material possessions, the hobbies, and the things that we love of this world. Are we focused on God? Are we focused on the things of this world, the things that moth and rust destroy, like we see in Matthew 6, 19? But lastly, are we prepared to win? Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9, 24, gives us something, an illustration that many of us can see today because of the popularity of sports, even in our society. Do we have this mindset of one who is wanting to win, who wants to finish? In 1 Corinthians 9, 24, Paul says, do you not know that all who run in a race, all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run this, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul is taking an understood truth of athletes, and he's making the application to us and to our lives. They will do whatever it takes to win. And those who do win, they have a completely another gear than those that don't, even at the professional level. Many of us who are football fans just saw this last season. And it pains me to have to talk highly of Tom Brady because he just beat my Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. But whenever you think of Tom Brady, that man is 40-plus years old and before this season had 5 Super Bowl rings and more generational wealth than he could really know what to do with as is. Why does he keep on getting better? Why come back? Why put your body through that? Because he has a desire to win. He has a desire to go and to win the championships. And whenever you hear interviews from Tom Brady, when you hear interviews from all the past greats of whatever sport, whenever Tiger Woods was at the top of his game, Michael Jordan, you understand that even though there was a so-called off-season, there was never an off-season. They are constantly preparing themselves in the off-season to be ready for the season that they're about to go through so that they can win the crown. Again, they do it for a perishable crown. We need to understand that we do it for an imperishable crown. Have we prepared ourselves by bringing ourselves under control like an athlete does? Have we prepared ourselves not letting the flesh run rampant, fulfilling its desires however it pleases? Do we have the focus and determination of one striving to win? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Are we controlling what we let in our hearts, striving to remain pure and holy, just as He is holy? 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Athletes are some of the most, I don't want to say the most immoral people, but the majority of them are fairly immoral. Yet they forego so many things, pleasures of this life that one, they could afford to do. Two, they typically in the off-season have the time to do. They forego that so that they can obtain this perishable crown. And their desire and their will to do it sometimes blows us away. Why would you put yourself through that? Have we prepared ourselves as Christians in the same way? Understanding that there are things of this earth that aren't bad in of themselves, but what they do is they take away from us serving God. Understanding that there are dangers out there, that wherever we go to the movies, we drive up and down the road, we listen to the radio. Whatever we do, there is sin beaming us in the face. Do we keep our heart with all diligence and block that out? Do we prepare ourselves beforehand to not even go to those places that's going to cause us to stumble and sin? These athletes control every aspect of their life, as Paul is telling us, and they forego things that they otherwise would partake in so they can win a crown. Do we forego that which in of itself might not be bad, but forego so we can win? The hobbies that we do, the things that we love in this world. Again, I'm not saying or suggesting to you that we can't do anything fun. I'm saying it's got to be controlled, just like it is for an athlete. Again, they understand it to obtain a perishable crown. We're doing it to obtain something that's imperishable. Those rings that I was talking about, Tom Brady, one day they're going to be burned up. All six of them that he has, and I hope he doesn't get any more. We are after something that is imperishable. And we prepared ourselves to get there. Just like an athlete, we need to understand that there's preparation that goes involved in it. You can't just go through life however you please, just going through the motion. There is studying that needs to be done. There's prayer that needs to be done. There's hymns that need to be done. There's meeting with one another, growing with one another, uniting with one another. There is work that needs to be done in order to prepare ourselves to win the battle with Satan. To be successful, we must be prepared. Colossians 2 tells us that we need to set our minds on things above and not the things of the earth. Where is your mindset? And I want to leave you with one last thing this morning. A quote that I found by Benjamin Franklin. He says, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. How much truth is behind that? And is that not what we see in the Bible? By failing to prepare, by failing to put our minds in the fact that there could be situations that we run into in this life where we have to take a stand against our family, where we have to take a stand against our friends. We might have to give up something we love because although in of itself it's not bad, it's causing us to neglect our duty in preparing and following God fully. By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. What are you preparing for? Are you preparing for success? Are you preparing to achieve and obtain that imperishable crown that Paul talks about? We need to make sure that we are preparing ourselves in every moment of every aspect of our life. You know, we sing a song, and the words of the hymn are you ready for the judgment day? This morning we talked about baptism and its essentiality for salvation. We understand and recognize it is the blood of Jesus. Without him being that perfect sacrifice, there would be no hope. But we get into Christ, as Galatians 3:27 tells us, by being baptized into Christ. Have you prepared yourself for that judgment day by being baptized into Christ? Maybe you have done that this morning, but you have let Satan use different means, different methods to take you away from God. And you need to come back to Him. You need to start preparing yourself again. If that is you, or, as I said, if you have not been baptized, please come forward while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.